Today on Real Life Radio.
I don't want to pick up this Bible and read something that's not true. If I'm going to pick up the Bible, I want to be able to know that if I go to the uttermost parts of the world or if I go to the hospital down the street and pray for somebody, God may absolutely raise them up from their bed and heal them completely, or a heart might be changed right on the street and they come to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If this is not the truth, then what are we doing?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, What Kind of Church Are You? Part 4. What kind of church we are depends on what kind of a Christian we are. That's a sobering thought when you think about it. You see, as we learned in chapter 1, the book of Revelation is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. We saw how Jesus has many attributes, including the head of the church coming again for his people. And now in chapter 2, we find out that every church is in need of hearing, and what every Christian is in need of knowing, that Jesus is exactly what the Word of God has revealed him to be. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that when Jesus is an actual reality in our lives, our Christianity will be a living reality. When we realize that Jesus sees and knows all things, we'll come to understand that there is no other way to God but through him. And now in his message called What Kind of Church Are You? Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Revelation chapter 2. While you're turning there, we welcome you in the name of the Lord. If you're here for the first time this morning, we're glad that you're here. In addition to that, we're going through the book of Revelation chapter by chapter and verse by verse and sometimes word by word. We are certainly going through the letters of the seven churches in the book of Revelation that Jesus wrote after his great ascension back up into heaven. As he, in the book of Acts chapter 1, in the midst of his disciples, ascended up and was received up into glory. And there, the messengers that stood, be it angels or two men, as it says, in white apparel, heavenly manifestations, no doubt, said, Why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom you've seen ascend up into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go. And after Jesus ascended into heaven, he wrote, as it were, seven letters to these seven churches of Asia Minor. And that was dispatched, the Bible says, here in the book of Revelation chapter 1, via an angel unto John the Apostle. John writes it down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And these letters are sent out to all seven churches of Asia. But we need to remember to keep this truth in mind. There were many more than seven churches in Asia Minor, or today, modern Turkey. But those seven cities, or those seven churches located in those cities, created almost a circle, an elongated circle. And each of those churches had a certain condition in which they lived in and certain doctrines that they either fought against or allowed into the church that were false. And they put up with sin in their culture, in their age, to some degree or another. But the truth is that they all belong to the family of Jesus Christ. The important thing to keep in mind is not all of those people in those churches were Christians, just like any and every church that claims to know Christ. Not everyone that attends a church is a Christian. You know that? It's just the way that it is. Greg Laurie often says this, and I don't know where Greg Laurie got it from, but I'll steal it from him or whoever Greg Laurie got it from. And that is, going to Winchell's Donut doesn't make you a donut, just like going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You know, that's true. You can't just go to church and say, well, you know, I've been going for 6 months, I'm a Christian. I asked this week in Germany, how many of you are Christians? And a few people raised their hands, and then it was so funny because as the others that didn't have their hands up looked around and saw hands raised, then their hands began to go up. And you know that it wasn't lost in the translation. It was, you know, I guess I better blend in. There's some hands going up. I guess I better fit in. And there's always that temptation within a church for people to come and fit in. Their belief or their morality doesn't go with the waywardness of the world. They like the church because it's a safe place to have an October 31st family fest, you know. Rather than go into the world and experience those things, it's a great way to celebrate the Christmas season. Rather than get caught up in the things of the world, they're not exactly comfortable inside the church, but they're certainly not comfortable outside the church. There's a sense of morality that they enjoy, a sense of belonging, but outside of that, it doesn't go any further. There's no deep or committed entering into the things of God as God has declared or as Christ has invited. And we see this morning the church at Thyatira. And the church at Thyatira was in a very, very dangerous place. And I want to tell you right now, the place that we're going in this study, by the way, do I have your attention, anyone? This is important stuff. If you sleep halfway through this and then wake up at the end and you're all upset with me, then you have no right to be upset unless you listen all the way through. Then you can be upset with me. This is serious stuff. I'm going to tell you the reason why. The church at Thyatira, as we go through these seven churches, Jesus now brings us to a church, like all the churches that are listed, has not only resided in history, actually resided back then, but also resides in the hearts of many people who claim to know Christ. In other words, what I'm saying is that not only is the book of Revelation contemporary, but these letters to the seven churches are so contemporary that we may find ourselves this morning very guilty of some of the things that Jesus indicts them upon. And so this is a very challenging portion of Scripture. And I would say perhaps if I'm true to the Scripture, and I'm telling you, pray, because if I am faithful to the true meanings of these things that are written here to the letter of this church at Thyatira, then you'll have no problem finding a parking spot in this church next week when you show up. So serious are these things. We've been asking this question, what kind of a church are we? So if you're taking notes this morning, you might want to put there at the top again, as we look to this church, the church at Thyatira, what kind of a church are you? What kind of a church am I? What kind of a church are we? Because it is you and I that make up this very church. Are we going to be a loving church? Are we going to be a church that's effective? Are we going to be a church that's benevolent to the needs of people? Are we going to be a church that's faithful to the Word of God, even if it involves persecution, like Smyrna, the church at Smyrna? Are we going to be involved and are we going to be committed to the Bible for what it says? For remember, the Bible does not contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. That the Scripture is absolutely not only endorsed by God, but it is breathed by God. The Bible was not written by men. The Scripture says that God, by the Holy Spirit, possessed these men and wrote the very Word of God Himself, the Holy Spirit, the author of the Scripture, using the very eyewitness accounts, as it were, of its authors and writers of these 66 books. So it's a tremendous thing. By way of review, very quickly, I just want to point out the thrust in light of where we're going. In chapter 1, remember this. By the end of chapter 1, when we started chapter 1 and we went through just those few verses and came to the conclusion of chapter 1, this is what we found out about the revelation of Jesus Christ. That he is number 1, Jesus. Emmanuel's his name. God is among us. Number 2, we found out that he was the Christ, the Savior of the world. 3, we found out that he is the faithful witness. That means there's not another, by the way. He's exclusively the one and only witness. He's not one of many to come and point the way to heaven. The Bible says he is the only one to point the way to heaven. 4, he is the first begotten of the dead. That is, he's the first one to have been resurrected from the dead, never to die again. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. Jesus Christ is the governor of all those legal and judicial and legislative systems of the world. He presides, that is, he watches over them as being the prince over the kings of the earth. He is the one, the Bible says here in the book of Revelation chapter 1, who loved us and washed us from all our sins in his own blood. Is that not awesome? Ooh. I tell you what, go outside and take a shower and see if you can wash away any of your sins. If you understand this, he, it says in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, that he alone is the one who loved us, who washed us from our sins. Amen. In his own blood. Very good. He is the one who will come in clouds of glory. Chapter 1 taught us that he is the one who was pierced for us. The Bible says that he is the Alpha and the Omega. It says in chapter 1 that he's the beginning and the end. We learn that he is the first and the last. We learn that he is the Lord, that is the Almighty God. We learn that he is the Son of Man. And we also learn that he is the one that liveth and was dead and behold is alive forevermore. The great testimony of who Christ is. And as we read those great declarations found in chapter 1, where it lists all of his attributes, his tremendous qualities and characteristics regarding his appearance, it's enough to just absolutely blow your mind, where all of these things are listed. Of his eyes, for example, that are of a flame of fire. His face shines as bright as the sun in the midst of the noonday brightness. That his feet are polished like high polished brass. That his beard is white. And that out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. That his voice is the sound of many waters when he speaks. All of these awesome things about who he is. John sees the image and the vision of Jesus. No one to be mocked at anymore. No one to be used as a cuss word or a byword. It's Jesus Christ who is enthroned in heaven. The one who was beaten and crucified and then resurrected from the dead. The one who left in Jerusalem an empty tomb that's empty to this hour. It is Jesus Christ, the Bible says, who's enthroned in heaven. And it's Jesus who's coming back again. People may mock him and reject him and say all manner of evil against him. But the truth of the matter is the scripture says he's coming again and he's coming with great power and great glory. And the Bible says all the angels worship him. It's a tremendous thing to consider. So in Revelation chapter 2, beginning now at verse 18 to 29, we see what Jesus writes to a church that is mating or relating itself or blending itself with the world. It has let down its guard concerning the Bible, and it has allowed the world to come in and form much of its existence, the church at Thyatira. He says, to the angel of the church at Thyatira, write these things, who saith the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. He says, I know your works. And here they are. There's four of them. Number one, love, service, faith. And four, your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than your first. That's a good word. We'll see that in a moment. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you have allowed that woman Jezebel, who is called herself a prophetess or an oracle, a speaker for God or in God's place, to teach and to seduce my servants, to cause them to commit sexual immorality and to eat things offered or sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, or therefore, behold, I will cast her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am the one who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Verse 24. Now to you, that is the believers there in Thyatira, in that church, I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not hold this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put no other burden upon you. But behold, or hold on, or hold fast, that you have what you have until I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. they shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We're going to look at three very important things. Jot them down. I need to race through most of this message up front to get to the third and final point, because you will find it most applicable not only to our age, but throughout the ages. Again, we're asking the question, what kind of a church are we? And I don't know if you're new here to Calvary Chapel or not, and if you're new, this is a non-denominational church, which meaning if we were to take a little sample poll, you know, pass a little card around, many people here are Lutheran, many people are Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Anglican, you name it, whatever. Many different backgrounds. I understand, I've been told by quite a few of you that many of you attend your church that you're a member of, and then you come here. And that's fine. That's great. You tell me that you come to study the Bible verse by verse here. That's great. So there's a mix that I stand here this morning as one who has no agenda other than to give the Bible. I say that because I'm preparing you for things that are going to be coming about in this letter. Jesus is going to strike true straight to our hearts. And you and I are going to be faced this morning with the reality, are we going to receive the word of God or run out of here rejecting it? And I want to warn you this morning and issue this plea to just hang on. As I was studying for this message, and I was studying both when I was away and in Europe this week and then coming home and then this morning trying to put these things together, I have to tell you that I honestly prayed, God, please give them ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Because I can't say these things, because the danger is you might misinterpret that what I'm saying is my opinion. Listen, I don't care about my opinion, and my opinion will have no direction or help for you regarding eternity. It's what you study the Bible. It's what you take God at his word. And so because of that, I put that forth. In verses 18 to 19, in our first point of asking this question, what kind of a church are we? We can only ask that question, what kind of a church are we, by asking, what kind of a church am I? What kind of a church are you? And you say, well, Pastor, I don't like when you make those things personal. Someone told me that last week when you were leaving. You were, well, that's if you're even here. I hope you're here. But if you're not here, then you don't know what I'm talking about because you're not here. But somebody walked out and they said, you know what? I don't like how you include me in the message. I didn't even know who this person was. Nobody called me and said, Pastor Jack, can you mention this person because this is what they're doing? Nobody called me. It must have been God talking to you. The truth of the matter is the Bible does apply to you and I personally. He's a personal Savior who personally gave himself on the cross that you and I might enjoy a personal Savior in a wonderful heaven and fellowship one with another. And so regarding what kind of a church are we, that all depends and determines what kind of a church this will be in the community and in the world around us. Number one, what kind of a church are we when God is an actual reality to us? Will you jot that down? Point number one. What kind of a church are we? Here it is. What kind of a church are we when God is a reality to us? When God is real to us. When God is real to us, then tradition, then mindless acts, then why I'm doing what I'm doing goes out the door. Because when God is a reality to us, we want to know what we believe and why we believe it and how can I tell others about it. I want to know if God is a reality to me, how do I live what I'm reading? I don't want to pick up this Bible and read something that's not true. If I'm going to pick up the Bible, I want to be able to know that if I go to the uttermost parts of the world or if I go to the hospital down the street and pray for somebody, God may absolutely raise them up from their bed and heal them completely, or a heart might be changed right on the street and they come to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If this is not the truth, then what are we doing? God is real. And Jesus is going to address the church at Thyatira, and he challenges them directly. He says to the angel of the church at Thyatira, verse 18, "These things saith he who is the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass." In other words, his feet is shiny bright. We're going to come back to this in a moment. It is really exciting. I hope you get a big kick out of it as I did about why he says this again. Remember, he said it in chapter 1. This is nothing new to you already if you've been here for a few weeks. He's already said, "I have eyes like a flame of fire." Remember? He's already said, "I've got feet that are shiny like brass." You already know what that means. In chapter 1, he gives a list of all these things. And by the way, he re-mentions again those things as they apply to each church and where they're at in life. And for the church at Thyatira, he says, "Hey, listen up. I am the Son of God. I've got eyes like flame of fire." He says, "I've got feet that are polished or shining as brass. I know your works," verse 19. And he gives four wonderful things regarding his reality and who God actually is. He says, "I know your love and your service and your faith and your patience. And as for your works," that is for these four things, listen, you're getting progressively or you're advancing onward. This is a good thing. The church at Thyatira, as we've been going through our geography of these churches of Asia Minor, we've now reached the highest point north. We've traveled up the coast of the Mediterranean. We've gone from Ephesus, Pergamos, Smyrna. Now we're at Thyatira. We're eastward now, northeastward. We're starting to now head southward. And he's going to make a loop as he begins to address these churches. We've gone as far north as we go now. Now Jesus is starting to mention the churches that swing south. If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't do it now. But you can turn to the back of your Bible and you can there look at the map of the seven churches and you can see the geography of what we're talking about. By the way, this week, yesterday or the day before, I was talking to a lady in Germany, and guess where she was born? I loved it. She was born in Smyrna. I thought that was so cool.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called, "What Kind of Church Are You? Part 4. Thanks for being with us today. "What Kind of Church Are You? Part 4. Is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation, a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Did you know that God has a purpose for your family? That you can still create a home that honors God regardless of the model you received when you were growing up? January's book of the month is called Turnaround at Home, by our very own Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Together, they draw from their own inspiring stories that will help you understand your emotional, spiritual, and social legacy. Turnaround at Home offers many Bible-backed practical ideas for creating positive at-home relationships, no matter what season of life you're in. Old destructive family patterns can be healed in your generation. So start making changes for the good at your home by picking up a copy of Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
Hey, you guys, Pastor Jack here, and I want to encourage you because we are obviously looking at a world right now that still continues to be one that doesn't give us any answers. In fact, it's generating more questions than ever. And here at this time, we're losing our freedoms and we're not quite sure what's going to become of our own nation. Here's what's awesome is that the kingdom of God is never rocked. It's never reeling. The kingdom of God stands sure forever. And the big challenge for all of us is to make sure that we have the kingdom of God active in our hearts and in our lives. And that's by becoming a follower of Jesus. That's what this program's all about. And so I just wanted to say hi. I just wanted to say I want to encourage you. I just wanted to say keep your eyes on Jesus. I just want to say that when you see the world looking like it is and the global events as they are, remember, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.